This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. This is episode 227. It is me, Jay, with Andrew and Taylor. Luke is out.
Here.
He is out today, and so it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. Not making any assumptions. Just wanted to acknowledge what the date was.
We've been making assumptions all day.
It is good to be with you. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of Twitter questions coming at you. Oklahoma City is now 46-22. We are winding down the season, which is nuts because that means that at some point in the near future that the season will be over, which is the worst time of year. but Oklahoma City had a strange week since we last did our podcast. So Friday night. And what obviously was a trap game, sandwiched between the Clippers game and the Spurs game, the first night of a back-to-back where the Saturday, the second part was the Spurs, and the Thunder came out against Minnesota at home and just laid a complete dud out there, lost 99-96.
Yeah, that wasn't great. I mean, give credit to Ricky Rubio for hitting that shot.
No.
I love you, Ricky.
So the... I threw this out there, and I did it just kind of for fun. So Ricky Rubio hits the threes, a 30% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Great pass by Andrew Wiggins also as part of that. That same night, and I know that nobody else here is really a huge college basketball fan or OU fan, but so Buddy Hield shoots a shot from half court to win the game, supposedly. It ends up being after the clock or whatever, after the buzzer. And I sent a text to my buddy. I said, I actually believe that Buddy Hield had a better percentage chance of hitting that shot than Rubio did of hitting a normal three-pointer in an NBA game.
Was that a buddy text to your buddy?
A buddy text to my buddy. Whoa. No, I sent that text to Buddy.
Double
to
Buddy. Him.
Hey, Buddy.
Me and Buddy Hield.
Did you know that you had a better chance of hitting?
Comma, Buddy.
But it was just ridiculous. And, there's also a play where... I just completely, because I call him Cat now, call Anthony Towns. He hit that, fadeaway kind of.
I call him Cat now.
Because he hit that fadeaway jump shot on Durant.
That was nice.
Nice, but it was kind of one of those things where you're like, that's a low percentage shot, right? Like, it was well defended. You could just tell kind of the way he shot it. I wasn't like,
I don't know, man. Carl Anthony Towns
I've seen him make some crap like
he's
that.
He's like legit. He's
good, man.
He's going to be an all-star next year, probably.
Yeah.
He's having a good season, not just for a rookie.
Having
a great season for an NBA player right now.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of the Oklahoma City is, spiraling towards death kind of thought here locally. And they play the Spurs on the second night and lose 93-85. And if you were to take that in a vacuum, right, that loss, you would think, okay, the Spurs were at that point 55-10, and they're a great team. You're playing in San Antonio where they haven't lost in a year. But they were up, and they were only up two going into the fourth quarter. And so I'm not one of those, this is a epic collapse or anything like that. But they ended up losing the fourth quarter 27-17, lose the game by eight. And there were just poor execution in every way down the line. And one of the most glaring plays to me was the Russell Westbrook gamble. He came across and tried to swipe the ball from Marcus Aldridge. Danny Green didn't hit a shot.
No. He's like 0-5 or something.
And he got
like
a wide open corner three.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the end for the Oklahoma City run. And I know it's because I see everything in this kind of optimistic viewpoint, but I thought the Thunder were the better team. Like they looked.
They were, they looked great throughout the entire game until it mattered.
Both teams shot horribly that game.
Yeah, it was strange. Like the Spurs were missing so many threes. But then, and the frustrating thing for that game is if you look at any of the stats of anybody outside of our main guys, it was horrible. Serge was 3 of 13. He did end up having 12 rebounds, but 3 of 13. Even Kevin shot poorly, 11 of 25. Russ was 5 of 16.
Yeah,
and then you get to the bench here, and it just, derails, you know. Singler was 0 of 5. Foy was 1 of 4. Morrow was only 0 of 1. And then, of course, Cantor was his normal, incredible self. He had 17 rebounds, 11 points.
He was great. And I don't know. It was a frustrating game because it felt like they were going to beat the Spurs at home, which nobody has done all season.
And changed all of the narrative.
I mean, it would change everything. What's funny, I don't know, the Thunder have put together, like, since the All-Star break, like, they've been awesome in, I don't know how many quarters that they played, like 20 out of 25 quarters, they have been incredible. And you would think, like, oh, like, that's a great thing. But no, like, they're all their bad quarters are in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's been crazy. Don't quote me on, like, the amount of quarters that they played.
Because there's no way that they've played 25 quarters.
So don't quote me on that. But I do think that it's, I don't know. I'm still very optimistic about this team. Even if they hadn't played the last two games, which they've been really good, yeah, I would still be really optimistic about this team because I just don't think all that much has changed about them. I think that they still have time to put stuff together, and that, I don't know. I mean, they're still well positioned to do exactly what they thought what we thought they were going to do, is go into the second round and have a really good shot to beat the Spurs. And then if they do beat the Spurs, they're going to need just a hell of a performance to beat the Warriors.
But anybody would.
You know?
That's not some sort of...
I'm just saying that, like the idea that we've had of this team hasn't changed at all from the beginning of the season.
No.
And a lot of people are like, I don't know, people just ebb and flow with this team as they win and lose.
We're too emotional. There's so much pressure. The pressure of this season because of Kevin Durant's pending free agency. And then you hear the reports from the Pelicans play-by-play guy who says that if they don't make it to the finals, it's finals or bust for Kevin Durant, which at that point, like, which Kevin was like, I don't know where that came from. And then he goes to Boston and he mentions, like, oh, it seems like a good town. And everybody's like, he's going to Boston!
Yeah. Well, like, the deal with that is they're probing him. They're saying, what do you think of Boston?
Yeah.
And what are you supposed to say? Like,
it's terrible.
I hate Boston.
A terrible, godless town.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City's so much better than Boston.
Yeah.
Well, and Bill Simmons started that like 5 days before we even went to Boston anyway.
Right.
Started his little propaganda train.
Yeah. So Simmons is, I can never quit Bill Simmons. I just can't.
I can't either.
I can't do it.
The best way to do that is to never have started.
I mean, he's just such a homer. It's just so funny. I love it, actually, because it's just like, that's what we do, you know?
It is.
We sit here and like make up like the best case scenarios for the Thunder all the time.
But it's like we're sitting in one of our dining rooms.
Yeah, but our best case scenario is like maybe they can get a 3-and-D player. And his are like maybe Kevin Love and Kevin Durant and Wilt Chamberlain reincarnated comes back.
That's because they have like all the assets in the world.
They do.
And they have a great city. And I mean, it makes...
I don't think it's like way far-fetched to think of Kevin Durant going to Boston. I don't think it'll happen.
It's not, but it is.
Yeah. He really wants to play with Avery Bradley.
You can convince yourself, though, of this. I don't know. They get the number one pick. They get Ben Simmons. And then... I mean, if you have Ben Simmons, like his value may never be higher than after you draft him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he's going to work. I think he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be the superstar, but you could flip him for something incredible.
Yeah, almost immediately.
And then you have Durant and whoever. Yeah, I mean, and then it just doesn't take that much to be great in the East. Like Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan is like who's challenging the Cavs. Yeah. Like it just doesn't take much. And if Durant's just like, man, I want to change, then he has to go East. Don't you think that I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Don't you think that it would be just awful for Kevin Durant's brand to go to the Warriors?
Yes.
Like it would destroy he has such a strong brand right now. If he goes to a team where he's probably the third best, not the third best, but the third most popular player on his team. Because I still think Draymond Green would be he's just so beloved by that Warriors fan base. I think he would probably be the third most popular Warrior. He would be more of a role player. Like he would be like almost like Chris Bosh there, in a way, because like there, where are the shots coming from? You have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and like where are the shots going to be for Durant?
I don't know. Offense. I think if Durant goes there, I think he's not the most popular, but I don't think, I think maybe locally Draymond Green stays most popular, like ahead of him, but nationally it's going to be Steph and KD. I mean, it's not going to be.
His perception is going to take such a hit.
I agree.
If he goes there, it's going to be like he couldn't do it in OKC. He saw this team that, and I mean, if, they're going to, I mean, the Warriors are going to win a championship barring injury. They're going to, yeah, like, back-to-back champs. He couldn't do it in OKC. He had to go to them. He had to take a lesser role. He doesn't want the spotlight. Like, it would just be crushing to his brand.
I feel like if this was 5 years from now, it would be taken a lot easier from everyone than if it was now. Like, it feels like he's too young to give up on him leading a team to a championship.
Yeah. He's just like admitting, yeah, I can't do it. Yeah.
Yes.
So one of the things we have, it's a Twitter question that came in kind of after we put them all together, but from Lucas Bell at Half a Manwich. He says, would it be easier to be, yeah, I know. Would it be easier to still be a fan of Kevin Durant if you went somewhere like Boston?
No.
Like, if he leaves, which brings up another question. If he leaves,
yeah,
does it, like, if he comes back to Oklahoma City, there, I couldn't bring myself to booing him.
Oh.
Like, he gave the Thunder,
yeah,
a lot of who he was. He invested in the team. If he goes to Golden State, I may be able to find myself not, yeah, liking
there
him.
You could be like, wow. Like, he didn't want it. Like, he didn't have it. He didn't have what it takes to do it. You know, and it's just like, I don't know. That just,
I agree with that. I agree with that conversation.
That would suck. But if he did go to Boston or something like that and was like, hey, you know, no hard feelings, but like the Warriors are in the West and they're all my age and they're going to be good for a long time. And this, you know, the closest path basically to get to the finals is to go
east,
to the East, where the Cavs are not a sure thing by any stretch of the imagination. No. And all they need is one team to compete. Like, if they got, like, if they could get, and Simmons has talked about this, Al Horford and Durant, and then you have Jay Crowder, and you have Isaiah Thomas, and, like, you have all, I mean, like that's a squad. Like, they could beat the Cavs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they could get to the finals, and I would just be like, that'd be more understanding, and Durant would still be the man. I could find it easier to root for him if he did something like that, rather than going to the Warriors. I would understand on a human level, like going to the Warriors, like, man, like we can win five or six titles, like, and it'll probably be pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hate people taking the easy way out.
Like, I do that. Too. I don't think, if he went to the Warriors, I agree. I would blame KD. I would not like it. If he went somewhere else, I would blame probably Presti.
Yeah.
And management. Like, I would be mad at my own team. Like, how do you do something so wrong that he goes somewhere that isn't
team,
the Warriors?
Yeah, a team that doesn't have Russell Westbrook or Serge. And I know he's the most hated player in Oklahoma City right now.
Yeah. That's where like, the Harden trade wounds are just, like, gaping open after if he leaves. Yeah. I don't think he's leaving. I do not think it's going to happen. I don't think he's going to leave for Boston. I just think, I mean, can't a guy say something nice about a city without it meaning that he's going there?
Yes. No, not when absolutely. He's Kevin Durant.
I mean, so it's crazy.
You brought up the Harden trade. It's like one of my no-nos here on the podcast. And so I just want to make sure that you know that you've upset me already. So, so the Thunder, so finishing kind of the week that was, they follow up the San Antonio game. They had Sunday off. They played Monday at home versus Portland, who last week when I talked about this week, Portland had been playing well. They're kind of falling off a little bit. Portland's not a bad, they're a playoff team.
They're good.
They're going to be the five seed.
They're very good.
More than likely.
I was so surprised that we beat them that bad. I was
and
not
we
expecting that.
Trounced them. It was a 34-point game in the end, but I don't think it was even really that close.
Yeah. The way the game started, too, I was kind of like, oh no.
Al-Farouq Aminu is like the scoring leader halfway
open.
Through the first quarter.
Well, CJ McCollum was like carving them up. It was just like, oh. But
there
then
it goes.
They blew the doors off them. They were incredible.
And everybody played well. Serge Ibaka was 7-10 from the field. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds. Steven Adams had, that would have been very wrong. Steven had 13, 5 assists. Russ had another triple-double, 16 assists, 10 rebounds, and 17. And didn't touch the floor in the fourth. Russ was just incredible in parts of that game. And the real, the bigger deal is the fact that they didn't have, they had 13 total turnovers, part of that.
Yeah.
Singler actually played well. Cantor, obviously.
Star of the game was Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
9 of 15 from the field.
His Euro step.
He had some highlight plays.
His around the back.
He, 26
he,
points.
He missed the dunk. But
if
like,
he would have thrown that down after that behind the back, oh my God.
I would have ran from my house to buy a jersey.
They shot 53% from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
And 59% overall. And that was just an epic beatdown. It made you feel better. Right?
Anthony Morrow hit shots.
So yeah.
Foy was 3-3.
Yeah, he was 4-6 from the field, 3-3 from the 3-point line, which continued in the next game as well when they played the Boston Celtics and they ended up beating them by 21, which that one. The Thunder, the bench played the entire fourth quarter, end up, losing the fourth quarter by 6. And so it was still even a 21-point loss still felt like it was bigger than that,
Yeah.
Neither starters played the entire fourth quarter. Boston was on the second night of a back-to-back. Jay Crowder wasn't playing. Like, I understand there's things that kind of can be qualifiers for that win.
I mean, Marcus Smart's their small forward.
Yeah. I mean, there are things.
What's up with that?
The smallest forward?
I think it was Alex who said that even without that, the team has been creating tons of turnovers, and Oklahoma City ended up with a total of 5.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing is they're just creating havoc with Bradley and Smart. Those guys are both legit defenders and really tough.
That was maybe my favorite beginning to a Thunder game of the year.
Oh, Durant.
Maybe other than maybe the one of those Golden State games. They came out and Durant was just like...
Just that three. It was just like, oh, yes.
You're going to put Marcus Smart
Let's
on
do
me?
This.
Okay.
And he, what did he call him?
Mini.
A mini.
Yeah, I had a mini on me, so I had to go.
That was awesome.
But that was another great game. Silently, Andre Robertson has been really good doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
But Foy has been a game changer, man, the last two.
He's been good.
Him hitting his shots when he's open will change the game.
If he can continue to do it, then the trade will look really smart. Yeah. I am very skeptical.
I know.
When you watch him, it looks like he gets it more. Like, he definitely feels more in the flow with everyone else.
I want that so bad.
I want it. In the flow with Foy.
Singler was good. He didn't shoot from the three-point. He was 0-2 from the three-point line, but he played really well in that game. Campaign didn't shoot well, but he's played a lot of minutes the last two games. And I think you just see a difference because the ball, he just moves.
He's a mover.
He moves with the ball without the ball better than anybody on our team.
Oh, I love him. Love you, Cam.
So, cool. We'll see what happens. Waiters, that was his first game back after his brother. He lost his brother.
Yeah.
And he is, you can just tell he's in a hard place. Like, he's just very, very emotional. And then they obviously, after Boston, flew to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so he's been there again for the last few days. But he did hit almost a half-court shot, his first shot back. And, anyway, it was kind of a cool moment for those of us that love Dion Waiters. So any other thoughts on those before we move into Twitter questions?
Nazer, man. What a great player.
Thank you. thanks for listening, Down Dunk Podcast.
Thanks for listening.
So it is time for Twitter questions.
TQs.
Twitter questions.
All right, the first Twitter question comes from @Sam_Mark_Kelly, and they say this: you have the power of inception. If you haven't seen the movie, you can place thoughts in people's brains in their dreams. You can anchor one thought into Donovan's mind now or Presti's mind in the offseason. What is it?
Mine is, I'll go first because it's silly. Donovan. And it's spend all practices solely developing Dion this summer and next year. Everything is centered around Dion. He has to work.
Wow.
That's my one. I can do anything. That's it.
Mine is nearly the opposite.
Wow. Trade Dion.
No. I mean, you can't trade him. You can sign and trade him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because he'll be a free agent.
Let him go.
Let Dion go and go get Alex Abrines.
Is that really?
That's for Presti.
Yeah, that's for Sam Presti. That's what I would do.
If I want to inception Donovan, I want to say, be more creative with your rotations. not in a bad way. I think he's doing a lot to try to make it. But like, I sent this out in a text this week. But if a guy's not playing well, it's okay to not have to feel like he needs to play the same minutes he played the night before. Right,
man. I don't know. I really don't have any beef with his rotations. To be honest.
My deal was just when Cam was just in the doghouse, like for some reason.
Yeah.
Like that didn't make any sense. The ball, it just, there were so many moments where you're like, they need a point guard on the floor. Foy's not a point guard.
I think honestly, he's just trying stuff. Like, I think he's using the regular season as a laboratory more.
Which is what he did
with Morrow
in the early part of the season. Yeah. Singler. And
I don't know. I just don't. I just want to be able to see him for a full year and give him a playoffs before I'm like, well, he's just like Scott Brooks, or management is controlling what he's doing or whatnot. I want to see a full season and see what happens in the playoffs with the rotations and how that all plays out before I'm like, before I want to, like, you know, say Donovan is this or that. But I've liked like some of the lineups that they've done.
Yeah.
Like with the Cam, Foy, Durant,
Deion,
Singler.
There's one where they had four wings and yeah. I think Cantor is your fifth.
Yeah, Singler, Cantor. Like, yeah. I like that lineup. That's a fun lineup. Yeah. I don't know. I actually do. I don't know. People hate Kyle Singler. People think that he is the worst.
I think that they're just behind.
That's what I mean. They have to be because he's been better.
And then he shows up in the Spurs game and looks like he's like it. It felt like it was November again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, though,
way
like,
better.
Like he's and what people,
he has to be playable. Like people don't understand that.
He is their best option at the wing.
He is crucial to this team, and to just bury him would be really stupid because you don't have anybody that can come in and replace what he's doing.
Yeah,
or what he could potentially do because of his size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way back on to Singler, like, as an important piece of this team.
He feels solid now.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
And bad moments, shots. Everybody has bad moments, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's people that have bad games. And so, I don't know. I think that, and we're leading, well, there's a question we have about this, about Deion's minutes. And, you know, nobody loses minutes because of something like that. And so he'll be back in the rotation, I'm assuming tonight.
Yeah.
Against the 76ers. But,
One more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I really like how Donovan has been using Collison all year now.
Yeah.
He's been really consistent with how he's been using Collison, which is basically just picking and choosing what games he's most appropriate to play in and ones he's not, and then just doesn't play him. And I have had zero problems with Collison. Yeah. And when he's needed, he's been really good.
He comes in, he plays defense, he knows where to be.
How he's using Collison is like the one thing I hang on to, like in my trust for Donovan and what he's doing with everyone else, right? Like that shows me, okay, he gets it. He's just using everyone else to figure out what they do. Like conversation we've been having.
I wish that Anthony Morrow had a better shot at getting into the rotation.
Yeah.
I know his defense hasn't been that good, but it hasn't been that bad. To where like he just doesn't even deserve a place.
But once again, is he trying something? Right? Is there going to be a place in the playoff where he's needed and he's ready to roll? And
yeah, maybe.
My issue is he's such a rhythm guy.
Right.
That playing 10 minutes every seven games.
So I'm saying, like, just give him the last 5 minutes of every second quarter or something like that. Like, he doesn't need to play. He doesn't need to play 20 minutes.
No.
Like, give him 5 to 10 minutes. If he's hot in those 5 minutes, play him more. If he's not, then you don't have to play him at all.
Taylor, do you have an inception for Presti, or did you just have Donovan
already?
Oh, not one for Presti. No. Oh,
okay. He did the Donovan in waiters. All right. Next Twitter question from @StephenJRossi. What's your take on Cam's tweet?
He's miffed. He's peeved.
He was miffed.
He's peeved. He's 21.
And he started playing the next game.
Yeah, that was
a coincidence.
The message to Sam Presti and Billy Donovan.
I think he's frustrated, and he should be.
He should be. He's legitimately good. I think he's
going... He did nothing to not play.
Well... His defense has been atrocious.
It still is pretty atrocious. In that Portland game, it was still really bad, too.
Yeah. That's it. But I don't know. He just brings so much to the table on offense for that team.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just have to kill people with your ball movement and with your shot making and what you give up on the other end. I just think that he's going to bring more than he gives away.
I need to pay more attention to him defensively. Is he that bad?
Yeah, he's been really bad. I mean, the numbers bear that out.
It's less on ball. It's more off ball. Like his guy
gets beat, not paying attention.
Yeah, he like watch the ball and his guy.
I don't pay enough attention to him on defense, I guess, because I'm so excited to watch him move the ball around.
Yeah, but he's pissed. Like he's mad. Like he's like. I mean, I don't know how else to take it other than like, well, you know, like I didn't play, and they really could have used me in these spots, and they didn't. And
Isn't the first time either.
Yeah, he posted something on Instagram. Yeah, it said play so hard, be so good that they can't
ignore you.
They can't ignore you or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is that's the unique thing is most of the time the guys that were getting shut out didn't like even Reggie.
Oof. Oof.
He at least outwardly didn't.
Still hate you, Reggie. Still hate you.
I think it's just Cambian Young.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, he's a rookie point guard.
And being frustrated.
The position that's the most difficult to defend is definitely the point guard. And then if you're a rookie, I mean, that's tough. I mean, his points against per shot is the highest of anybody on the team. He's at 1.06, which is, it's not like worst in the league bad, but he's pretty bad on that end. So I mean, it's
that's good. Concerning. I haven't paid enough attention to that.
Like for the season, Randy, like you can just look at Randy Foy's at 0.98, which isn't like wow, like elite or anything, but like that's good.
Yeah, Foy's a better defender. I mean, that's without a question. If he's hitting shots, he is the answer as that guy.
Yeah, and more. See, this is where I just like more. Like I want Morrow to get a shot. He's at 0.99, and if you're under one. But then, like, that's okay. Like, you're definitely playable.
Yeah.
If you're, like, in the low 90s, you're good. If you're in the 80s, like, you're elite. Durant is at a 0.88. Like, Durant's been elite this season.
And you can see it. You can definitely see that. That is not an underlying
mm-hmm. Robertson's thing. 0.86. He's been great. Ibaka's 0.93, he's been the leader in this category for the Thunder for years. He's definitely having a down season, but.
What's Russ?
1.5.
I'm going to say 1.
That's actually correct. 1.05.
Oh, 1.05.
Yeah, that's
God, I thought it was going to be 1.5.
1.5 would be like, oh my gosh, like he's out of the league next year. No, Russ is, but that's, I don't know. You just take what you can get from Russ.
Yeah.
He's got to be better in the playoffs. He's got to be better in the playoffs. But Enes Kanter not being the worst on the team is a definite accomplishment at 1.02. Way to go, Enes.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's been pretty good. I mean, he's been not pretty good recently.
He's communicating. Like for me and my friend at Mikey Vera on Twitter and a guy who's does the chart-sided stuff, who just made all those charts for a bunch of the articles that I've done, we were just talking about how him communicating on defense is such a huge thing for him because that was always a missing piece with him. Like he's just always looking so confused and just like moving around, like not really never communicating on defense. But the fact that he's talking now to his teammates, like that means that he's starting to get it.
English.
He's learned
starting
it.
Starting to understand how to speak English.
He's starting to get it. Like he's been much better this season.
And Durant pointed it out specifically against the Celtics too.
Yeah. And what he does, I don't know. Like Enes Kanter has been amazing. And a lot of people want him to play a whole lot more. Like they just want to be like play him 45 minutes a game. Like I think that the way that they've used Enes Kanter has been the thing that Donovan has gotten the most right this season.
I think there's just stretches where the offense stalls and people, they know that he's such almost guaranteed offense.
I understand that. I just think that the way that they're developing him, because he's developing, he's 23, he's a young guy, he's a young big man. And it takes a long time for big men to figure out defense in general for the most part. And I just think that the way that they're developing him and, you know, giving him that 20 minutes a game, which doesn't seem like a lot, I think it's just the perfect role for him. Because if, like, he's playing, like, 30 minutes a night and then you get in the playoffs and, like, we're like, whoa, like, we can't. Like, we like we just can't do this against certain teams. But I don't know. I think that's what I think it's one of the things that Donovan has gotten most right this season.
Is the narrative so loud about his defensive setbacks that he will not have a chance? Because most of the awards, postseason awards, are created by resounding narratives, right?
Yeah.
Like Zach Lowe posts that Marc Gasol is the best defender in the league, and then all of a sudden he wins defensive player of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the natural progression, it seems like it goes. Is the narrative on him so negative defensively that it would not give him a chance? Because at the end of the season, if you take six men, he's going to be up there on points per game, for on sure. rebounds. Like,
I think one of the problems will be his total minutes played. Like he's and they're going to say, the people will say, he hasn't played enough minutes, and I've heard people say this already. Nate Duncan has already said this. He hasn't played enough minutes, and he's not playing enough minutes because of his defense. And so that's... And it's, I mean, it's largely true.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that he probably won't. He won't win it.
Okay.
He won't. He just won't.
All right.
He won't win it.
It doesn't it seem like there are certain writers that there's like 3 to 5 writers that every other writer looks at.
Yeah.
And it's like, if these guys say this, then everyone else okay, then it's okay for me to say this.
Well, and one of the biggest things is that these guys would have to backpedal so far to get to Enes Kanter has been a good player this season that it would make them look almost stupid. You know what I mean? So I think that maybe a year from now, if Enes Kanter is still in the Thunder and he's still playing the same role and he's starting to, I think his minutes will increase as he gets older and a better player. Maybe like it'll give them enough time to say like, wow, like he's kind of a changed guy. I mean, this role, the 6-man role, is like really good for him. He just comes in, he just gets all the rebounds and is scoring around the basket better than anybody in the league. I think that maybe a year from now, but I just think he'll be in the conversation for 6-man for sure. Yeah. But it's going to take somebody like Zach Lowe to come out and say like, if Zach Lowe came out and wrote an article titled, Enes Kanter is the 6th man of the year, he'd win it.
Yep.
But he's not going to do that.
Isn't that crazy?
He's not going to do that.
All right. So, settled. He's not going to win it.
No.
I don't know who is because I don't. That's the strangest award for me to figure out. So, all right. Next Twitter question.
Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, of probably. Of course,
duh. Okay. At @eflame_717. Is this statement true? Post All-Star break is make or break time, and the Thunder have been shattering. So I tried to find who that was from. I think it's from John Hamm, maybe Brian Keating from KOCO. They tweeted that out, I think, who knows, after one of the devastating losses. And is that true? I think that this is... I don't think they're shattering.
I think it's not. I think it's just not true. I mean, there's nothing about the last stretch of the season that indicates playoff success ever. There's not anything. There's no research. There's no studies that show if a team is playing well going into the playoffs, they can win it all. Like, you have to look at the entire picture, and it's not just snapshots here, snapshots there. Look at the whole body of work from the Thunder. They've been inconsistent, but I don't know. To me, like, the narrative has been the same all year. They're going to beat whoever they get in the first round. They're going to get to the second round and have a good shot to beat the Spurs. And then they're going to need some serious luck or some serious, just some ridiculous shooting and playmaking from Russ and KD to beat the Warriors. Like, it's going to take a close to a miracle to beat them in, 4 out of 7 games. And that's just where they have been since the start of the season, and that's where they are now. Like, I don't think that anything about these games that are happening right now are make or break. I think that this team is who they are. They just need to be healthy and ready to go in the playoffs. And I think that their chances are not going to change based on how they play in this stretch. So I think it's unequivocally false.
Well, and I remember vividly. The Mavericks team that won the championship limped into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they were not winning. It was just like, gosh, this team may lose in the first round.
The 2010 Boston Celtics were essentially a 500-ish team, and they went to the finals.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You just cannot take everything that happens in the regular season and apply it to the playoffs. You just, I mean, you just look through NBA history, and that's just, you can't do that. Especially, like, you can do that with, like, the very best teams. Like, of course the Warriors are going to probably get to the Western Conference Finals, most assuredly, and then they play the Spurs or the Thunder. And you know what? Like, they'll probably have, like, a 65% chance of winning the series or something like that. Like, they're probably going to win it. The other team has a shot. It's not a good shot, but they have a shot to win it. And that, I mean, I don't know. And you, like, knew, like, the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe. Like, you knew, like, they're going to, like, go
turn
through
it on
and, like, stomp teams. And there were years where the Lakers, like, barely, like, squeaked by the Kings and the Portland Trailblazers and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Whenever, like, go, like, I don't know.
Like, the ball bounces the wrong way and Robert Horry doesn't catch just, a three, then the Kings are playing in the finals.
Vlade Divac doesn't tap that ball out. I mean, I don't know. The playoffs, I don't know. If you're a Thunder fan, don't take this game to game. Like, if you're taking, if you're, like, ebbing and flowing with this team emotionally game to game, like, man, like, you don't really understand the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, if you have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, like, you have a really awesome team.
And you're listening too much sports radio.
Yeah, they have. Yes.
To the part, because they overreact, because that's what they do, because it gets you to listen.
Well, and they don't have, and they've got to fill time.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have an hour show every week where they just pop in and like, try to remind people of things. Like, this team is good. Like, this team is legitimately good. They have flaws. Of course they do. Most every team in the league besides the Warriors has flaws. They're going to have a shot at going to the conference finals this year. They're going to have a puncher's chance against the Warriors. They'll probably lose. And then the Thunder, like, the big deal is re-signing Kevin Durant this offseason. Like, that's the storyline that's been all season. It's still true. It's going to be the same in 2 weeks. It's going to be the same in a month when they start the playoffs.
Dream and nightmare is playing the Warriors and going to 7 games.
Yeah, I know.
Because the amount of stress that I would be under in that series.
One of the things, though, like, if you go to 7 games, you're in Oracle for game 7. If they just compete and lose, like, you can walk away from that, like, really encouraged.
I'll be floating.
You can really be encouraged about this team. If they make it to 7 games, you can be very encouraged walking away from the series, even if they lose.
There's a part of me that's like, if they make it to 5 games.
No, I know. I know, because, well, here's the deal. If they do make it to 5, it means that they have beat the Warriors, something that they have not done this season. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know.
And nobody's really done. Like, no good teams have beaten them.
No. Yeah.
They get beat by crappy teams when they fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
I don't know.
Until this Saturday when they play the Spurs.
My nightmare is we beat the Warriors and go to the finals and then lose to the Cavs.
Oh, my God.
That would be, like, the worst.
Wouldn't that be
the
awful?
The worst thing ever.
Tristan Thompson, finals MVP.
Oh, my God. Oh, that would be the worst thing that could happen.
That would be awful. Yes,
all right, let's move on.
So bad.
Next Twitter question, at ThunderMob405 asks, playoffs now 3-on-3 cage matches. So instead of basketball...
We stopped playing basketball at the end of the season.
Throughout 3 cage matches, 1 guard, 1 forward, 1 center. Who's in the finals and who wins it all? Taylor, this is your question.
My East team is the Celtics with Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and Sullinger. Jared Sullinger is my big. And they're playing the Clippers in the finals. So CP3, Paul Pierce, DeAndre Jordan. I think that there's a lot of different things going on in here. You got the powerhouse guy. You got DeAndre. You got, who's yours?
I've got my Western Conference one, but go ahead. Who keep going. It? I'm not going
to
shut you down.
I wanted to pick the Kings, but I keep...
100% the Kings.
Yeah.
Rondo at guard, Quincy AC at forward,
and
DeMarcus Cousins as your
Quincy
center.
AC, yes.
Quincy
that AC. Was mine, too, is definitely the Kings.
That's where I couldn't figure out a forward.
Like Rudy Gay would just get pounded by anybody.
Exactly. But, Caspi? I'm not picking.
Hey man, killed. You don't want to fight an Eastern Europeaner.
Yeah, I probably know.
I thought he's Israeli.
He is Israeli.
Is that not Eastern European?
It is.
Well, at some point it probably was.
It is, right, but let's just be more specific, okay?
Sorry.
Far East Europe and then South and then Near East. Okay, so
sorry, dog.
Any other I'm very upset. Did you have any others?
Who's your East team?
The Magic kind of intrigued me a little bit with Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon,
Aaron Gordon as your big.
But it's like Aaron Gordon would – say it was like Aaron Gordon against Paul Pierce. Like Paul Pierce is going to kill him. He has like experience in wisdom punches. You know, like an old man in a bar.
So are you guys
like
trying
Mike, to – I don't know, man.
Are you trying to intentionally not talk about Oklahoma City?
Yeah. I think they need to be
– Serge Ibaka and Russell Westbrook?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely considered them.
I would.
I just think you get Boogie and Rondo in that room, and like you're just inserting just a whole new level of crazy.
Oh man,
like anything is possible.
They'll scratch your eyes. I mean, they'll yes. kill you.
Yeah, Rondo will do they'll the weirdest you. Crap you've yeah. ever seen in a fight. You
know, Rondo ate Westbrook's nose.
Yeah, like, that's weird.
That's. I mean, that's a thing that could very well happen.
Oh gosh.
All anybody right. else in the East? I mean, the Celtics is a good pick. What about Toronto?
Kyle Lowry, I like him.
I don't know who.
Demarre Carroll, healthy Demarre Carroll.
Yeah, healthy Demarre Carroll.
Throw down
Kyle Lowry, and then who's there?
Valanciunas. Right?
Oh no!
Bismack.
Give me the Bismack.
They win it all. Give me the. Give
me. He'll give you the Biz Smack.
Ooh. All right.
You'll be on the ground.
Okay. You'll be
on the okay, ground. This be is... on the ground.
Next question. Hey, that's a fun question. Next question from @BenVance. If the NBA playoffs were a March Madness style one game series tournament, would that change who wins this year?
No.
Yeah, no. In one no, game.
The Warriors would just win easier.
It'd just be faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what that kind of the gist of that question for me though is in a one game. Anything
the East,
in one game.
The East would be very different, in my opinion. I think like the Boston Celtics would have like a legit shot yeah. to win the East.
Anything is possible.
But the other thing is if it were March Madness, you're going to be playing at neutral sites as well, which changes things.
Yeah, the Cavs always lose game one, so they would be out.
Yep,
first round.
Oh yeah, Cavs would be the team that gets what's the word I'm looking for?
Eliminated.
No,
ousted. Like,
Upset,
yes.
Oh, upset.
It would be the first
simple,
upset.
It was such a simple word that I
know. I know.
All right, next question from Adam Huskerson. @AdamHuskerson. Does Kyle Singler cry himself to sleep every night while listening to Bon Iver?
Well, here's my opinion on Kyle Singler. I think he's more of a Papa Roach guy.
Mm. I think, oh, gosh, I just threw up my mouth.
I think that he's stomping around in his parents'.
Put my life into pieces.
Yes. He's stomping around and his parents upstairs
yeah.
Until he passes out every night. He wow. just listens.
He's just putting eyeshadow on.
No breathing. Don't give up. Yep. Every night that's what Singler's doing. And that's what his hair is for, so that he can look in the mirror and like wave it around
yes.
big time.
I think if he listens to Papa Roach, he probably listens to like Papa Roach from like later on, like yeah. songs that no one listens
he's
to.
Like,
he's like a real Papa Roach.
You guys really don't know what Papa Roach is like.
Really, that got better. It's like, that's the worst song they have. The yeah. only Papa Roach song you know, that's their worst song. They have really good
They've
stuff.
They've become much more seasoned.
All right, next question. A lot.
No, guys.
No, you can't. What do you mean next question, Jay? We just have barely stepped into the pool.
Are you kidding me? Because I think Singler actually only listens to like funny mock, like Lonely Island stuff. I think he laughs himself to sleep listening to Lonely Island.
No.
Or Flight of the Conchords.
No. Stop. He's the biggest Weird Al fan ever.
Oh, yes. He knows every Weird Al. Yeah, but he only listens to that genre. The like funny music genre.
Guys, did you guys? He's like, listen, I just found Adam Sandler's old comedy
yes.
CDs. Have
yes.
you listened to this? He's yeah. this one where he plays a goat. No, yeah. Kyle.
Who's
we're not more, listening to that.
Who is friends with him on the team?
Mitch McGarry.
No, I think Mitch probably thinks Kyle's not like cool.
I don't know.
I think Kyle thinks Mitch is not cool.
I think they need each other.
Probably Steven. I'm assuming Steven Adams could be friends with him.
Yeah, Steven Adams, so. He's probably nice to everybody. Josh Eustace?
Yeah. Who's Kyle Singler?
What would be the most surprising friendship that you'd find? Him and Dion?
Him and Dion for sure.
Like, or him what? And Russ?
I think Russ is not as... I cannot imagine Kyle Singler and Dion Waiters having a conversation.
No.
That's not about
Was
the,
it when
that's
you
not
guys,
about the game.
Who saw Kyle Singler out?
Not me.
He was telling me.
No, one of my friends, I don't think he goes out, man. There is no sun on that body.
He does. He went out. He was at Fassler, and
That was Luke.
Oh, was it Luke? Okay. Well,
I think it was. I know at least.
And he was with other people that. Yeah.
Look like him.
No. Like, well, oh yeah, maybe it was people like six, that
look like albinos. Sorry, if you're an albino, I did not mean to offend you.
That's really horrible,
Jay. Kyle Singler.
That's terrible.
Anything else to fall into this question?
Tried to move early. He just gets awfully red-faced during the game.
He gets very red-faced.
He's so flush, man.
It's awesome.
All right, next question from @MattHarrison. Deion only played 11 minutes last night versus Boston, and Cam played 22. That's what we/y'all want, right? Explain what Cam does better than Deion.
Not much.
I'm not sure.
I'm just kidding.
Like, Cam does a lot of things. Offensively, he can facilitate an offense. Deion Waiters really can't do that.
If he could get to the rim as well as Deion, he's going to probably finish at the rim.
He could finish at the rim. He's a better shooter than Deion Waiters. He's an overall much better offensive player. Defensively, it's no contest right now. Like, Deion is, of course, the numbers don't really bear this out, but Deion is a better defender. So, isn't that right?
And that's going to change. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all it is.
And that's going to change. Like, that's not, this is not.
Deion is not like a great defender by any stretch of the imagination, but he's better than what Cam is right now. He's more reliable right now than Cam is. I think Cam is going to be incredible. Like, I have the highest hopes.
What's
for this
incredible?
Dude.
Give me a bar. Give me a stat line.
A stat line of his like peak.
Yeah,
15 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals.
Okay, that's incredible.
On the Thunder with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka,
finishing games at the.
He can be their sixth man still, but he'll be their fifth best player, and he'll play alongside Russ, and they'll. Switch who they're guarding and whatnot. Like, I don't know. I think he's going to be so good.
I think he is very good.
A better version of Reggie Jackson. If Reggie Jackson could shoot the ball, that's Cam.
Yeah, that's very true. I love Deion. Obviously, Cam is a much better offensive player.
He's gonna be way better.
Yeah. Deion doesn't have a place on this team next year.
Deion's gone,
unfortunately,
dude.
Not.
He doesn't. I didn't think he had a place on this team at the beginning of the season, and you can go back and hear me say that several times. But
I think they're gonna try to re-sign Foy. I wouldn't be surprised if they re-sign Foy.
I would.
Just for a little. I mean, where else is Foy going to go? Like, if he's going to fill a roster spot as a shooting guard that sits on your bench, like,
that's where I think
he'll be like no
unless
money.
Unless that you can go get a Breen's. But I'm saying if you can just do vet minimum or whatever for Foy for
is that a shortened version?
That's my man.
A Breen's. Just take the A out.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Go get Breen's.
Go get Breen's.
Go get Breen's. Go get Mike Breen. play the two guard.
This is the question. It came in after we put him on initially, but I went ahead and grabbed it because I figured you could talk just kind of briefly about Serge. Matt Kendrick @MattKendrick said, could we trade Serge for some new basketballs, or is that price asking too high? Maybe just one basketball and a roll of ankle tape. Serge is the most actively hated person on the Thunder.
Yeah,
right now.
He is. And he's definitely had a down season. There's no question about it. I wrote a big piece on Serge Ibaka for Vayner Sports. Please go check that out today. It's actually titled, Is Serge Ibaka Declining Already? And it looks like he is. Like, I've got a bunch of charts on here. Like, it doesn't look good. I went back through the last three seasons and kind of charted his stats in a lot of different areas, but he's being asked to do a lot of different things. A couple areas that he has actually improved in is his closeouts. People have always complained about he can't close out. He's never been able to close out on shooters, but he's actually been a lot better at that this season. And he's also moving the ball way better this season than he has in the past. His hockey assists are almost double what they were 2 years ago. So he's his overall assists are definitely, they're down from last season. And he's definitely being asked to switch a lot more on pick and rolls and stuff like that. I just think he's adjusting to his new role. He's 26. Like, people like kind of forget that. Like, the dude is 26 years old. And I just don't think that you give up on a guy that has the physical abilities, who has the shooting, who is a good defender. He's had a down year defensively, but he's still a solid defender. It's not like he's been bad.
Yeah.
Overall, I also just look at like a guy like Nicholas Batum for the Blazers. Like, if the Blazers knew that Nick Batum was going to be this player this year, do they trade him for Noah Vonleh?
No, players have down years.
Yeah. I just don't. And his can be explained through injuries last year for Batum, and I understand that. But I just don't think that you give up on a guy that has that those physical tools, and is, if you were to create a big man for the Thunder, you would say he plays good defense and he can stretch the floor for Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Like, that's who you'd create. You wouldn't create Enes Kanter. You wouldn't want a low post big man, because you need the floor to be spaced. Adams is great, but he just doesn't provide the same things that Ibaka does. And if the Thunder or the fan base give up on Ibaka at this point, I just think it's foolish, because I think that, yeah, I think that he can get better from this. I think that he can rebound. But I don't know.
My thing is, like, starting fours for this Thunder team, how many other power forwards in the league would you rather have besides Serge Ibaka? Draymond Green's one.
Yeah.
I would rather have Serge for this team than LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah. Who are you trading? Like, who are you going to get? Like, what are you wanting back?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think Serge is just kind of, he's just a scapegoat because he does very obvious things during the games that we lose.
Yes. He has missed tons of shots this season.
Yeah.
And he has not been as good defensively. It's all true. Please go read the piece. I definitely talk about everything that he has done poorly this season.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that at the end of the day that you give up on a guy that has his skill set. And he has holes in his game. Like, the dude has some of the worst hands in the league. But what he does, like, I just feel like it's really easy to look at what he hasn't done rather than focusing on, like, this guy is actually, like, he's a perfect fit for what the Thunder want. And especially in a small ball five, if you can have a 3-and-D 5, to go in your small ball lineups, like, you don't give that up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get something incredible.
Yeah. And he's still one of the best, offensively, you said he's missed a lot of shots.
Yes.
He's still one of the best bigs, like, catch and shoot bigs in the league, like, top five in the league.
He's been good.
There is no one that you can get to that is better than him besides Draymond Green to do what he does.
Yeah.
And Serge is still a better rim protector than Draymond Green.
He is. Draymond Green does, like, everything that he can't do, though.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Passing, dribbling.
It's a tough comparison overall, but I understand what you're saying. Like, he can fill in the gaps for this team, and will he get better? Will he adjust to the system? I don't know the answer to that question, but I just don't think that giving up on him is a wise thing to do, just because I think that the skill set that he provides is just too rare.
Yeah.
It's too rare. Like, people just listen to the way that people talk about, like, Kristaps Porzingis and Miles Turner and guys like that. They're just like, whoa, like, these guys are incredible, and they, you know, they're going to be the future of these franchises and all that. Like, Serge Ibaka was that before those guys existed.
Yeah.
You know, and then who else in the league is like that? Like, it's basically like those three guys. And, like, that's it. And
yeah.
It would take a lot for the Thunder to trade him, and for the contract that he's on for the next year, like, $12 million, like, that's
nothing.
Yeah. It's like, you hold on to him and you hope that you can re-sign him, because I just think that he's just too valuable. And he's 26. Like, we're talking about Serge Ibaka like he's 35 and he's about to be done and we've got to get rid of him before he's dead. He's 26.
Yeah.
He's 26. Like, let's calm down about this. Like, guys have, like you said, guys have down years. It happens. But you don't, and I personally just don't think Sam Presti has been good enough at trading players and getting pieces back to trust that you get something back that's good enough. So for all those reasons, I think that it's foolish to think that Serge Ibaka should be traded.
And how we've been talking about Serge all year has been kind of overblown anyway. It might be a down year, but it is not as down as you would think it is, given like how everyone talks about it.
There's just been things that drive me crazy. He looks lost.
Yeah, there's obvious things.
He's not cutting to the rim as much. Like, he's not, sorry, not cutting the rim. He's not covering the rim as well.
Yeah.
I just want to play against the Trailblazers where Dame Lillard goes to the rim and he just doesn't even like move to,
well,
to
his,
block a shot.
There's a stat called defensive activity rate. And you can just go, please go to my article.
Go check
just,
the article out.
Just click it. Just click it.
Because we don't want to ruin any more of it. So go check it out. We've retweeted it from the Down to Dunk, and all of us have retweeted from our personal accounts as well.
Except me, I don't support that.
That is it for our Twitter questions. Now we have four or five reviews that we promised to read. And so we want to do that before we move into our Say What stat of the week. The first one is from PR County. Excuse me. I almost said PR country, PR county. I enjoyed listening to these guys. Then they stopped posting right after the Warriors games. This is what happens. Early on this season, the Warriors played the Grizzlies and the Pelicans a couple times. Those teams pretty much gave it up for the year after that. Then the Warriors played and beat the Clippers a couple times. Same thing. And the Cavaliers. I don't think OKC has given up yet, but this podcast is now experiencing what teams all over the NBA are experiencing.
I think that was when we waited to do a pod or something.
And in there between, was, I don't know. When,
there was like a stretch where he probably thought that we were done.
All right.
We ain't done.
We'll never, never be done, even if it's all Kyle Singlers on the team.
Sorry, PR County.
Next question or next review from Nono765. Love the podcast. Good times listening to guys that are all about the Thunder and NBA, giving 5 stars, but you've got to change the top 5 power rankings intro.
No
way. I want
way.
To shove nails in my ears when I hear it. So just for you, Nono765, here it is.
Top 5 power rankings. Boo, boo. Top 5 power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top 5 power rankings. Down to the podcast of a power rankings.
All right. Next, Ben Triel 217 says, easy to listen to, a mix of advanced stats and regular fan conversations. A love for Dion Waiters makes the podcast very humorous at times. When Dion is good, your life is good too. So don't hate on Dion. Keep it up, guys. Next one, Mr. Dig Dust. Love the pod. Gets me through long days on the road. You guys are always on the ledge, just like me when it comes to Thunder. Great analysis and really funny. If I could make one suggestion, I think that the opener should be done by Dion. He is the heart and soul of the pod and should be a part of it. And one. Hey, if we could have gotten Dion Waiters, we'd have gotten Dion Waiters.
I can tell you that. Don't give up on that.
I know that's our.
No. I'm working on.
Oh, that's it. Fantastic.
I'm working on.
I'm not sure if we mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again because it may be our favorite review that we've ever had. This is from Brittany O'Neill, and it says, "Just about every time I get in the car with Mitch, I'm listening to your podcast, and I don't hate it." Thank you, Brittany. Thank you, all of you, for rating and reviewing what we're doing. We appreciate it.
We have one more
from
Ronnie Cash for the win.
Okay. You want me to read it or you got
it? I'll read it. I'm depressed about OKC is his title. Amazing podcast for any OKC fan. I love you guys. You remind me of my friends. Question, it seems like Presti is dictating lineups. The Thunder had the same problems for years. Inconsistent defense, stagnant offense late, plus turnover issues all year. How much of it is KD and Russ, and how much do you put on the other guys or Billy or Presti? Who do we blame? I think a lot of it is Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook.
I put a lot of the ownership on the players.
Yeah, because a lot of people just think like every move and play is dictated by the coach or the GM.
I think Presti is why we have a lot of turnovers during the games.
They don't engage on defense. They don't.
It's Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. They've got to take ownership of all of it,
leadership and all that. And I think you see it at times, and it makes sense. And so, all right, time for our Say What stat of the week.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
What? I can't read lips, Jay. Say what? Stat of the week.
My Say What stat of the week is just to honor Luke and his memory. it's not a stat. But it is something that just made me laugh. So UpRocks, just a, anyway, a website, talks sports, talks all sorts of things. But they quoted a article from Sports Illustrated where Kawhi Leonard is the most quintessential Spur, but also just such a unique guy in the NBA. And one of the things, so two things. Number one is that he lives in a two-bedroom apartment. And he his only major sponsorship is Wingstop.
That's beautiful.
And the second thing is
Wingstop is so good.
I know, it is so good. He often drives a rehab 97 Chevy Tahoe nicknamed Gas Guzzler, which he drove across Southern California's Inland Empire as a teenager. It runs, Leonard explains, and it's paid off.
Wow. My dad would love that he said that.
So
I know that's like
yeah.
I love Kawhi.
Dave Ramsey disciple.
Kawhi Leonard.
It's a Kawhi. Like you'll never be like. Do you not know what your contract is?
It's a $100 million over 5 years.
He clearly only cares about basketball. You know the Jordan crying meme.
Yeah.
So like you can't not have seen that.
Yes.
He didn't know what that was. Someone asked him about it. He had never seen it before. Like three seasons ago when Breaking Bad had its final season, they're like, Kawhi, are you going to watch the last episode of Breaking Bad tonight? He said, what's Breaking Bad? He literally didn't know what Breaking Bad was.
That's
this
awesome.
Guy is disconnected from reality.
The world, yeah.
Like he's the strangest person.
If you haven't been on, I think it's HEB, Heeb, that – is it HEB, the grocery store that they all sponsor?
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen those commercials, it's the greatest.
How you just can't hate this guy.
I know. And you can't hate the Spurs too because of him.
I know.
And he's so
Duncan. I love Duncan.
Oh, good.
Boy. Anyway. The reason he signed with San Diego State, they're the first team to recruit him.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Was it?
Wow.
All right, Andrew, you gotta say what's that of the week?
I was gonna mention Boban is great too for the Spurs.
Boban is. Man.
Boban is great.
Oh, I love him. I tweeted this last night. The Thunder ranked 28th in indirect pass rate, which are hockey assists last season. They're up to 20th this season. So just a little thing that Billy D is changing, trying to get these guys to share the ball more. And not just looking for just the direct assist, which I feel like Durant and Westbrook just hunt for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But looking for the pass that leads to the assist. The Thunder have definitely improved that this season. So
yeah.
What?
What? Mine is just last thing on Serge Ibaka, and then I'll leave it alone. He's seventh. He's seventh in the league in catch and shoot points per game.
Yeah,
so he's like, and he's shooting a good percentage. He is good. People, don't forget that Serge Ibaka is really, really, really good.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
You don't want to. Nobody wants to mention what happened on. When was this? Thursday night? No, Wednesday night between the Brooklyn Nets and Philadelphia 76ers.
Do it.
Say his full name.
Bondogovich.
Bondong.
Bondong.
Bondongovich.
Bondong.
Bondong.
Had 44 points.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I put out some serious tweets about that with lots of fire emojis. So I thought I had already done my damage, but shout out to the Bone Dong for
dude, Bone Dong.
Oh man.
Rest in peace, Billy King.
I was talking in the Billy King voice like the whole night. I was
just by yourself.
It. Just by myself, to myself, to my kids.
What is happening?
The Bone Dong.
I was singing my my 1 year old to sleep in the Billy King voice.
No, you were not. What'd you sing? Let me hear it.
The Bone Dong, the Bone Dong, the Bone Dong's called 44.
Oh, you, is that a real song you sing?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
All right.
I love that.
Anything got you guys? Miff for
Pete? 44. Bone Dong got 44.
He did. He was so good.
Anything got you miffed or peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
Not now. I don't. If I did, I've clearly forgotten it.
Had to get up at 5 a.m. to move a dresser by myself in my truck to Jay's house.
How did you move that? How'd you get that in your truck?
Just a beast, man. Just being a beast.
Beast mode.
Hey,
it's heavy as crap.
You went Bone Dong.
It is so
on
heavy. So I'm miffed and peeved about daylight savings time. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
Yes, let's do this.
If you have kids, it ruins everything.
Oh my gosh, it's been the worst.
I haven't slept well all week because of it.
Let's riff on this for like 30 minutes.
All right. This is now the daylight savings time podcast, the DST.
What is the reason for it?
At some point, they did it because it supposedly saved energy. Like it saved money on energy.
It's the Germans' fault.
Who is it?
This is an American thing.
I thought it was the Germans did it back in like World War I.
I don't know.
That's when it started. Yeah, you know what? You don't have to do it.
I think it's Arizona.
They don't do it. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do this madness.
Traditions, man.
It's stupid.
It is stupid.
Traditions are the chains that are holding us down.
Nope, New Zealand. New Zealander George Hudson proposed the modern idea of daylight savings in 1895. Germany and Austria and Hungary organized the first nationwide implementation in April of 1916. The practice has both advocates and critics. Putting clocks forward benefits retailing, sports, and other activities that exploit sunlight after working hours.
You basically have to move to Central Africa to not use it. It's what I'm seeing on this map.
Yeah, right basically. Here. Yeah. Central Africa, and that's it.
It's one of the dumbest things that the whole world has been like, yeah, let's take a look at this.
That's a good idea.
Let's do this.
Thank you,
Wikipedia.
That's
like the one thing the whole world has agreed upon ever. It's the worst
idea. This is why we don't collaborate with other countries. It's because ideas like daylight savings time.
It's so, so dumb. I hate your daylight savings time. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.